This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 401 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and on this week's show, well, I think it's going to be a trip report of me. So to help me do that, we've got a couple of our co-hosts. First, let me introduce Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
What's happening? This is your first trip report in some time.
It is very true. It's been my first trip report since 2 years ago, it seems like now. We also have Sam to help us. Hey, Sam.
What's up, Ed? But you are going to make up for not having a trip report because you're going to do like three trip reports and one thing here.
Yeah, that's true. I was lucky enough to be in Florida for a little bit amount of time, so I was able to get to the park a couple times, and I've even gotten to go to Universal Studios. So that's
what? Wait, what?
Where?
Yeah, I know.
Universal what?
It took us 28 years to get back. Leslie and I went on our honeymoon way back when. And my sister came down with all her kids, my niece and nephews, and we decided to all go with them. So we did Universal for a day. Nice. So we'll talk about that too.
Has it changed a little bit in 28 years?
The only attraction still left was E.T. Nothing else was there.
Which is still a cool attraction, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree. Okay. So we also have with us a special guest, a alumni from the We're Going to Walt Disney World podcast, my daughter Hope.
Hello.
How's it going, Hope?
All right. You know, nice to be
Things
back.
Are good, Hope. You're surviving down there?
Yes, I am, I like to say.
Yeah.
It's fun.
So Hope was down with us in June, and that's when we went to Disney World with Hope and her friend Amanda. And then she just came down again this week to kind of hang out for a couple of days before we get everything packed up and start driving home.
So that trip in June, Ed, I happened to be there a couple of days, and all I kept getting from you were texts that said, oh, I'm with the girls. I'm following them. So Hope is why you and I never hooked up? Is that what happened?
I think it was. We'll blame Hope and Amanda both equally on that one. Yeah, it was kind of fun actually following them around and having them kind of lead the way and do different things. And to be honest with you, we did a couple of new things on that trip, so it was kind of fun to do.
I'm very interested to hear Hope's perspective. I get to speak with Quinn and Liz a couple weeks ago on the show and did a trip report with them. So I'm interested to hear some of Hope's points of view on some of the things going on with Disney. And she hasn't been in, how long has it been since you've been to Disney, Hope?
Like 3 years, maybe.
So a decent amount of time.
Yeah. It was nice to go back.
I'm interested in a couple of those things that Ed did for the first time, but I'll let you bring those up as we
and go. Hope. If Hope hadn't been
and Hope, yeah, absolutely.
If she hadn't been in 3 years, there's quite a bit she hasn't.
Yeah, no doubt. And that was kind of cool for us because I was in the same boat with her for a lot of different attractions. Hollywood Studios had some things I'd not been on yet. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the main drive of the trip, was to get on the rides we haven't been on yet.
Sure.
So that was really, really fun. We were down for the June 23rd was when we went down the first time, and that was for 5 days, and that was a pretty good trip. We stayed at the Pop and had a room that was right off the main pool. We had the view of the Skyliner. So that was like, we walk out our door, you can see the Skyliner going over the lake. So it was kind of, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, a little in excess, but with the weather, we would be outside checking the Skyliner to see if it was running or not. And that's why we'd be able to decide what we're going to do next. But so, yeah, we had a really good location.
Yeah, I mean, I got to go in the pool. We didn't go in the main pool because it was, like, overly crowded and just filled with kids. So me and my friend Amanda went over to the bowling alley pool, which was really nice because there wasn't really a lot of people there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, always fun to go to the other not as big pools because you get to find things that you don't normally get to see. Right. So I got to see a lot of things that I didn't know was there.
I think going to those other pools is kind of a hidden gem, especially if you want to kind of, if you're a little older, and I mean like older teenager, young adults, because it's they're a lot quieter. Then they don't have all the chaos of the main pool with all the little kids.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now Pop Century, like I said, our location was really good. We're footsteps away from the Skyliner, so it was really nice. We're a second floor, but we just had to go down the stairs behind the yo-yo and walk right across the bridge almost. We were right there. It actually got to the point where we went back at one point to the Art of Animation because that bus came sooner at whatever park we were at. Sure. And then we just walked straight through from the lobby, straight through the pool, and it ends up back on the bridge where we were. So it worked out pretty good both ways. Now, Pop Century was set up still for the COVID action, where it was only picking up food by ordering mobile in the Pop Century food court, which actually I thought that was pretty good. I didn't have a problem with that, Hope.
Yeah, as soon as you ordered, it was pretty much ready, so you didn't have to wait long at all.
That's yeah, good. It was just a matter of deciding to eat there or your room, but it was like already packed to go anyway, so you know, it was a pretty easy choice to going back and forth. Crowd-wise, and Hope mentioned this earlier, it was crowded at the hotel, but the June trip and comparing us to July, definitely different crowd levels. Mm-hmm. And I was looking back at pictures, and we took a picture of touring plans for one of the days we were there, and it was like ones and threes and stuff like that.
That's when I was there too, Ed. It was beautiful.
It was. And you really did notice that. And now I've realized how you noticed it, because when I was down there in July, and it was literally the same days, 23rd-ish around there, it was sixes and sevens. And what that means is that in the middle of the day, when the rides start getting crowded, except for the really, really crowded rides, there are always high lines. You can't judge it by those. Yeah. Like, you know, Pandora, Flight of Passage, and the Millennium Falcon. Well, anyway, the ride lines in June were 20 minutes, 30 minutes tops over the course of the day, we felt. And we were getting on them, and the wait times were pretty accurate or longer than what they advertised, meaning we got on sooner. July, no, it was just as advertised. It was waiting, and maybe your strategy had to be a lot more on cue. Sure. As far as going where here first or there first and stuff like that. However, in the July trip, it was more of a solo trip, except for the one day. Actually, I take that back. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but my solo trip actually turned into a really fun trip with a lot of people. So
that's cool.
But we, you know, you discover new things. Now, the one thing we did do with Hope's trip, we did a rope drop of Magic Kingdom.
Oh yeah.
But we rope dropped Fantasyland.
Hmm.
So instead of doing a run to Seven Dwarfs, because we actually, the first time we went through it, we did that, and it was just a hell of a wait. We didn't even get on it, and then we ended up kind of going fractured. But this time we planned on doing it, and it was, of course, Peter Pan first, and then go ahead.
We went to Peter Pan, and then I think we went to the Haunted Mansion, and then made our way back over and did Small World and the Pooh ride just to get all those out because they get really long for, in my opinion, no reason. So I was like, let's just start with there, mm-hmm. and then get that out of the way.
And Little Mermaid.
Oh, yeah.
And then we still had enough time to get over and do, I think, Pirates, which was like a 20-minute wait at that point.
Not even.
So we basically stayed away from the real crowded areas, and we got on a crud load of rides. So it was kind of a fun thing.
I really like that strategy because, you know, when I go ride things like Winnie the Pooh and It's a Small World and Peter Pan, I enjoy those rides. But I'm not going to wait in a long line for any of those. No,
exactly. So
a lot of times I go and I don't end up riding them because I'm like, you know what? Winnie the Pooh's not worth a 40-minute wait to me. As much as I enjoy being able to hop on it and I enjoy the attraction, I only enjoy it when I can, you know, get on quickly. So
sure.
Another cool thing is, And I don't know if you or Hope had been through Peter Pan standby line since they redid that.
Right. Yeah. That
queue. You know, a lot of times we've gone and when we ride Peter Pan, it's because we had fast passes. But there's something to be said about waiting in the standby line and visiting that new queue because it's pretty cool.
Oh, sure. And that's the running joke as far as going through the line of Peter Pan is because I can't understand why it's the ride people are online for. I just never understand why it's a 75-minute wait at times in the park for Peter Pan.
And it's almost always. I mean, it has waits up there with Mine Drain and Space Mountain. And, I mean, it's always got a long wait.
Yeah. Although we walked through that to get on it as far as the first ride went. So, and actually, did we do Pandora? Oh, Pandora we did rope drop too over at Animal Kingdom and got on the Flight of Passage. But it was kind of cool because they actually took us through the laboratories. This is the first time I've ever been to a laboratory.
Oh, because you've always had a fast pass.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Fast passes or I'm going on rope drop and they always take us through the fast pass line for that. But for some reason, this time around with Hope and Amanda, we got to go through. Of course, it was running through the laboratory. Yeah. So you're taking.
But it's still cool stuff in there, man. You're like, wait a minute. I want to see. No, I want to ride it.
And it was. I can understand where that would be pretty cool if you're online having to go through that once or twice.
I have to say, having been in that standby line and waited. I wouldn't wait 3 hours for it. But I've been like when it first opened, we did standby and waited probably an hour and a half to 2 hours. And that is it's not a terrible wait because most of it's inside. And once you get to a certain point, I mean, it's a lot of cool stuff to look at. And so it makes the time pass.
And it's so funny when you do rope drop for that ride, you line up almost on the way to Africa, that pathway going to Africa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you literally walk right on the ride, though. You don't really stop walking until you're way inside.
Right.
So rope drop's a fun thing to do, and it's misleading when it looks so long.
Well, let me ask you this, Ed, if I can. Between your June trip and the July trip, did the social distance markers get removed between those? And how did that impact the
Nobody was social distancing. Nobody was wearing masks other than transportation still.
For either of those trips.
For either trips, yeah. Actually, okay. As far as the COVID went, the only difference I saw, and actually it was starting to be reversed anyway, were the cast members. Because in the June trip, cast members were just beginning to be told that they could take the masks off outside and then a couple of days later inside if they were vaccinated. And in July, I didn't see any difference in that. There were still some were wearing masks, some weren't wearing masks. There was really no.
There were on one of the days when we were there, we walked over to studios in June from the boardwalk, and the social distance wait here signs were almost, I mean, they were on the walkway back towards the boardwalk. That's how far they were. And I just couldn't comprehend how long that rope drop line had to have been at studios for that to be all the way past the buses.
I tell you, it's one of those, it was the lack of logic still for both trips in that you wore your mask on the bus where you're sitting next to people and you kind of a little close, but not really. But then you get on the line waiting to go into the park to get your tickets in. Or after that, you're waiting for rope drop. And they kind of smash you in there. Yeah. So you're not wearing masks at that point, even though you're outside, but it's still very, very, you know, whatever. However, the entire trip, I really didn't even think masks at all other than just making sure I had my mask for the Skyliner, which is an odd one because I got yelled at. I was not wearing my mask when I was by myself in the Skyliner going.
Oh, wow. That is
the Riviera where you don't have to get off even. And she was like, you got to wear your mask all the time. And I'm like, yeah, okay, thanks.
Yeah, that's
all the rules, but not when they're that ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a little ridiculous. And you know what? They don't give the cast members any gray area. Hey, indoors means indoors. And so also going back to your rope drop experience on Flight of Passage, talking about how it lines up to Africa, but you don't stop moving. I think that's also part to do because no fast pass.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, they're just loaded.
But even so, that rope drop usually would go like that until the first fast pass is hit. And I don't think the first fast pass is hit, like, say, the park opens at 8, they're at 8. I think
no, probably not.
Or like 8:30 or later. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So we really didn't hit any sit-downs. We mobile ordered everywhere we went. The first trip, Casey's was closed. The second trip, Casey's was open.
Yay!
Did you eat Casey's? That's good.
We didn't. I didn't stop there the second time. It was just damn. Magic Kingdom was a nightmare.
Because so July 1st is when crowds got big and there were fireworks. How did that, what was the difference in crowd level?
Epcot was a big difference in that everybody was staying till the end, not everybody, but a larger amount of people stayed very late.
I noticed that when I was there. My second trip was
great because I did Epcot with a couple other friends, and it's a different Amanda and her friend I met up at Epcot and in Magic Kingdom also. But Amanda is also a big listener of the show. So I wanted to say, hey, Amanda, how's it going? Thanks for wasting some time with me because it was really fun. But what we got to do was Future World at Epcot in the afternoon, in the late afternoon, which was great because everybody was already over in World Showcase all getting excited about fireworks. Which the fireworks show right now there is called what?
Epcot Forever.
Okay. So now was that the same one they had back when they had the jet skis and everything?
Yes.
Except there's a huge thing in the middle of the lake that wasn't there before. Yeah, so probably tell me your thoughts about that.
Yeah. Well, it seemed like that stuff was all anchored in the center, and it was pretty cool because all that machinery in there for Harmonious was cool because they had live fountains shooting water out of the top of it.
I've not seen it with the fountains shooting.
And I'm sure that's going to come into play down the road.
Right.
That makes sense as far as stuff moving on the lake.
I think once they're complete with everything in the center of the lagoon, all day long there are going to be fountains. You're not just going to see their structures; they're going to be fountains all day long.
From the photographs
that they posted around the lagoon, I mean that's kind of what they give you. They give you the impression that it's all fountains because it looks.
Yeah, the concept art looks good.
Yeah, it looks terrible the way they are.
What was your thought when you first walked into it? And Hope, what did you think? You walk into World Showcase and you see these huge things in the middle of World Showcase Lagoon.
Well, this is also after walking past like other construction anyway. So coming in the front. Yeah, we didn't come in the front.
We came in off the Skyliner, so we came
Oh, that's right.
And you're bringing up a bad thought, but go ahead.
So you don't really see it right away, and then you like kind of start walking, and then you see. I thought it was ugly. I didn't enjoy seeing it. I mean, but I'm used to seeing like what used to be there.
Right.
It's just so bulky and.
But I'm also seeing it as the sign of the future. The thing is, they have to do some type of like. Why can't they have blue like you know the go away blue or something?
Go away blue or whatever.
Which, by the way, on the Skyliner, you could see the Guardians of the Galaxy ride sticks out. Even more than Spaceship Earth does now. The big blue rectangle building.
Over, because you're at a weird angle from the Skyliner, though. When you're in the park, though, it blends.
Yeah, I say so, sure. Yeah, I remember seeing you in the park. You're right.
When you're on the Skyliner, you're looking at it from up facing down, so you're not looking at it against the sky. You're looking at it against the parking lot.
Right.
Yeah, that is true.
Something else did change, and I think they closed it down more than it was. Did we come through that in June? Was the pathway going to the land open in June? You had to still go all the way around?
Well, the tunnel.
Were any of the tunnels open in June in Epcot?
No.
He's talking about the tunnels like through Interventions.
Because I don't remember. The land side being closed before. But you never got through it.
When you're walking from like World Showcase, you're going to be forced to either go right and go like around by Ellen's, which would be Guardians of the Galaxy, and you go all the way around behind everything and come around by Spaceship Earth. And the same thing, if you go left, you go all the way like toward the land.
That's a major walk. Sure. If you're in the land and you want to get to, say, Mission Space, that's crazy.
You used to go right around the earth to get to there.
Yeah, so you got to go kind of around the circle. Either you can go around toward Spaceship Earth and go around the front, or you got to go all the way around the back.
The upside down waterfall to then go that way.
Yeah, so you can't walk straight. You used to be able to just walk straight across.
So that's the update for Epcot. You do a lot of walking now.
Although, a lot of walking.
One night at Epcot, this is an odd one, and you can – tell me if I was right about this. I think we walked around Epcot 2.5 times, World Showcase.
Oh, yeah.
Hope, Amanda, and I doing the different things and then reminding ourselves we have to do this over there. So we ended up going a couple more countries over and then coming back around because we forgot to do that.
Sure.
We look back at it, and then you're leaving from World Showcase too. So then you have to go all the way back around to where the Skyliner was. Now,
so Ed, you got to do something that I don't think any of us did on these two trips. You went from June, which was the Flower and Garden Festival, to July, which was the beginning of Food and Wine. So did you get to do both of those?
Food and Wine in July?
Right.
And it actually
Flower and Garden in June. It's like
a week before I got there.
Good point.
And it's going to go until November. It's crazy. But I tell you what, it's not really going yet. So it was set up, and they've got about 50% of the booths open, I would say.
I think they're calling it a taste of Food and Wine right now, and then eventually it's going to morph into complete food.
But what they have is pretty good, and you know, it's definitely worth it. It was as much as they had for the Flower and Garden.
So, and that's what I expected, Ed, is they took the outdoor kitchens and rethemed those into food and wine marketplaces without need. So if they were there, now they're Food and Wine Festival. Just close it for a week and then reopen it.
And there'll be something for the holidays, for the next festival.
Festival holidays, absolutely.
So on and so forth. Nothing really stuck out food-wise. Do you remember anything major food-wise as far as the festival?
Hope, was this your first trip? As an adult, like as 21?
Yes, it was.
Nice.
Did Dad buy all your drinks?
He did.
The 2.5 trips around World Showcase.
Oh, this is why. So it wasn't we forgot to go in this store or to go in this ride.
We didn't get this drink over here.
I forgot to get the orange slushy in Paris. We got to go back.
What was your favorite drink around the world?
So I like, they had in Italy in the one shop, like right on the end of the pavilion, they had this limoncello spritzer, which was limoncello and prosecco. And it was very, very good. I enjoyed it.
They spent some time in Japan too, I noticed.
Oh, yeah.
The sake bar.
They're really good.
The sake bar's not open.
Oh, so where at in Japan?
It was. No, it was. It was. The one at the restaurant.
Oh, no, no. I'm talking about the one that was back in the store.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
Or is it open or was it?
The store was open.
Okay. No, the sake bar. The sake bar that was back in the store, though.
No, I don't remember.
No, it was just the one across from the.
Yeah, the little booth across, like, underneath the counter
next
service
to the
place.
Koi fish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. It's got its own little building.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And they had some type of music going on too. I think. Do you remember
in America?
Yeah.
It was like an 80s tribute band.
Oh, it's always an 80s tribute band. It's just a matter of which band.
It was a local. They have the local band.
It was. It was. It was a local band doing a bunch of stuff. It was good, you know. They have a lot of lights on that stage. It really lights the whole area up at night.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I think they still don't want – I think like a local 80s tribute band still gives you some entertainment, but it's not going to have crowds of people filling the bleachers, right? So
it was pretty crowded. They're
about cool. I said I love the live entertainment. I mean,
that's definitely
part of what makes Epcot great at night.
We saw the replacement over in Canada. It was just the Jaminators on stage, so they moved all their kitchen appliances up onto the Canadian stage.
Yeah,
and they leave them up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a little while.
I guess it's like the Maytag repair guys up in Canada or something. We'd ask Stan about that.
I mean, I guess that's cool, though, because I guess that's cool.
They sounded great. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're really, really good.
Yeah, and I mean, it fixes the problem that you can still have them performing and not have them out, like, in the public.
Right. Yep, we did see the cavalcades were coming through different areas. New rides. We did. For me, it was the Lightning McQueen over in Hollywood Studios.
Racing Academy. Yeah, it seemed like every time you went, you didn't get the chance to get in there.
And that actually brings up another story. When we were over in Hollywood Studios, we closed it out by going on the Rock and Roller Coaster. And we were online, and it was pouring out. And we were literally like 10 feet from where we'd be covered. Right? Like, you know, and we didn't have umbrellas on. So it's teeming. Lightning coming down left and right. Everybody online on the Rock and Roller Coaster has their phone out videotaping the Tower of Terror, waiting for that lightning bolt to strike the tower because it was coming down left and right, under lightning. So that was really fun. So, yeah, so Lightning McQueen, Mickey and Minnie's
Runaway Railroad,
which was great.
I think
you liked it.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. And it was kind of cool because on this trip, we did that and Rise of Resistance. And little did we both know, because I didn't pay attention because I didn't want to see any of it, the technology in there, it's all going to be in Ratatouille. I mean, it's like incredible the way the cars move around.
The tracks.
So let's go back to Runaway Railway real quick, because the big question we ask everybody at is, you come out of it and you go, that was pretty cool. But now being removed from it, is it better than the Great Movie Ride?
No.
Just different than the Great Movie Ride.
What do you think?
The Great Movie Ride was probably one of my favorite rides in all of Disney World. So I was a little pissed finding out that they were going to replace it.
Don't hold back.
But the ride is great, and I was very blown away after it, but I still miss the Great Movie Ride. It's a classic.
Yeah, I still think they could have definitely revamped that or make it better.
They could have redone.
With Marvel and Star Wars. Holy crap.
And then did like the Runaway Railroad somewhere else.
Yes, I totally agree. One of the big conversations we had on the second trip, and I was so lucky because Lisa was able to spend a day with me at Hollywood Studios on my first day in July. And one of the things we talked about was, what are they going to do with Launch Bay and the Animation Courtyard?
Yes.
Because it was open, which it wasn't open in June. It was open in July. And it didn't have the movie in Launch Bay, but you could walk around and look at the models. And they didn't have meet and greets, and you couldn't go down and look at the helmets down there. But
there wasn't much in there.
No, it's just the static stuff.
Right.
Where the animators used to be, they have a couple of vehicles in there.
And it was
something to take a break because nobody was going back there. So, you know, it was nice. The AC was on.
You said it wasn't open in June?
It was not.
That's interesting because it was open last June.
I got in it in June and there was nothing back there to see.
Oh, when we were back there, we couldn't – there. I forget if there was just a line across the entryway there, or it was just somebody waving people off. But it wasn't available to us.
It was open. That was one of the places open when I went last July, like the week the parks reopened.
Right.
It was one of the areas that was a relaxation station. So one of the areas that had knots on the floor that you could go and take your mask off and relax for a minute.
I couldn't imagine the parks with the masks all the time.
It was rough in July, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't terrible in January, but it was rough in July.
Oh, I'm sure. It was actually July wasn't as bad as June was to me heat wise, but maybe I just got used to it a little bit more. We had a lot of thunder and lightning in June, and we found out that it's not always easy to find out the Skyliner might not be running you back to the park or not. We had an experience getting back to Epcot where they decided that Art of Animation and the Pop should share a bus stop. So imagine your run of, you know, one of the bus stops filled and then a line of people, and we're talking the Epcot bus stops, going down almost the entire length of the Epcot bus stops, passing all the other ones on the way back to the park. The line just went on forever.
I experienced that, Ed, from it was actually Tuesday Night Live show that I wanted to join, but I couldn't because I was waiting for a bus. But it was raining, and we were at Coronado waiting for our bus, and there's this huge line. I'm like, what's going on? And it took me a little while to figure out it was for Pop-Tart or whatever they call it, right? Pop and Art. And
I like that.
That's what I hear cast members call it, Pop-Tart. Yeah. There's this huge line because the gondolas were down. I'm like, now I understand. I get it.
The other saving grace,
your friend, man. Uber is your friend.
Yeah, but I didn't figure it out that at that point of the night, and it was raining, and it was a mess. But
the
rain
stinks.
So now, a real quick thought too is that the buses, they're mostly the regular, you know, buses we always go on, but they have a lot of the charter buses mixed in.
Yes, they do.
When you see a charter bus pull up, you start jumping up and down and cheering because. There's no pressure about sharing seats or standing up or whatever. Everybody's sitting in a nice seat, you know, pilot seat.
Yeah.
And you're getting a nice ride back to the hotel.
Yeah. They hold so many people, too. Those charter buses.
Right.
You hold a ton.
They had those lined up when I was there in June and were just coming in one after the other.
So from what I understand is at one point Mears was handling the overflow. And then they were using Disney buses. But Mears employees who were handling overflow, and apparently something happened, and I think that's why Magical Express is going away too. I think their whole contract with Mears is off.
There's got to be something going on there, dude. Yeah,
it has to be. Today about the Mears starting to take reservations, and something like that. So
well, that's their own thing, though. I think Disney's contract with Mears is up. Yeah. So.
Well, in replacement of the Magical Express.
Two things I just wanted to go back and, you know, you were talking about Rise of the Resistance and Runaway Railroad using the same kind of track system, a ride system.
Yeah.
And I was just watching. I don't know if you guys have seen Behind the Attraction Jet.
Sure, some of them.
Yes.
You've seen all of them. So the precursor to that is Tower of Terror.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. You're right. That is when you're rolling out of the elevator down the little coaster. Yeah.
That was cool. One of the first ones that they embedded like.
You kind of feel like you're on the wheels, though. That was really rough. I'm just thinking of the last ride I was on it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you definitely feel it, but it's kind of the idea of where it came from. You know, this was the first generation of that trackless system that it just follows this line and
the guide wire that's buried in the car. Yeah.
Yeah. The first thing we came up with was the Disneyland ride. What's the Luigi's Dancing Cars, or what's that one ride?
Oh, they changed the name, and I'm blanking on it, but I love that ride.
But that was when we were on Mickey and Minnie's Railroad. Which room was the fun room?
Oh, yeah, the dance hall.
Daisy's Dance Room. They had the recital room. That was awesome when they all were in sync together.
Yeah, and that's exactly what – and you've been there at Disneyland, so that's the first thing I thought of too. Yeah. When the Mambo starts in
But also now, the Ratatouille ride in Paris, it's exactly that. So now when Mickey and Minnie's splits up, that's what Ratatouille is like, because you're basically kind of screwing around inside the ride down the back alley.
But soon never.
It's like the light goes on, the rats scatter. It's fun.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
You're never really in a train, right? Every car is kind of doing its own thing.
That's not true. When you get in, it's all a train. It's all connected.
Sure. The beginning and then the end.
Okay.
Yeah. Of Mickey's, you mean?
No.
Oh, Ratatouille? No, it does come back in the end, because at the end it ends up kind of finding
your... I don't want to know. We're too close.
Oh, fair enough.
We're too close.
We did a podcast episode on this, remember?
I did not participate in any way, shape, or form.
Didn't watch the video of Ratatouille?
No, because I don't want to know.
Rise of the Resistance, getting on the new ride.
Rise, finally.
Could not get the 7 a.m. pass. The girls ended up getting it at 1 o'clock.
We were actually online for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad.
I was on the second trip. I was on the Millennium Falcon, being the engineer, poking my phone at 1 o'clock
trying to get. That's the problem with the system, man. That's the problem.
Well, anyway, the other problem was the second trip. If I had even gotten one, I did it with Lisa. She got it on her phone. I didn't get it for the 7 a.m. one, but she got it at 1. So we rode it. But I went there 2 days on that 4-day trip. The second time, it was closed the entire day, Rise of Resistance. I didn't get the passes, but then afterwards, I'd be like, I would have been so much more mad if I got the pass.
Yeah.
Didn't get on it because it was closed all day. So that was the downside of that.
So here's my first question. Were you able to get through the entire experience without being stopped for... You didn't evac out of it. You got to experience it because it is such an awesome story to be told.
Oh, yeah. So now here's one of those things, because I always tell people it's cool to watch point of view rides before you go on the rides. But I didn't want it for this ride, so I didn't. So the first thing I mistaken was when you get onto the Resistance ship, we ended up getting on the left side, which ended up being the back of the ship.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
We had the choice to go front. I didn't realize there was that. So it took me a couple minutes to figure out what the hell was going on.
Yeah, it's cool.
So it was fun. Rise of Resistance was great. It was just like it was billed as. I didn't figure out that Poe Dameron was outside in his ship until the second time.
Poe and BB-8 are out there waiting. They're going to escort you out. Yeah.
And then we'll have to talk down the road about more details on the ride itself, since we've all written one now, and talk about how they do stuff. Jumping to the Millennium Falcon, did you like that?
It was okay, but I think it kind of sucks that you have to be kind of like with good people if they know what they're doing. Because if we went on with a mom and her daughter, and they were like kind of freaking out before we even got on because they didn't know what they were doing, and they were the pilots, and we switched Jimmy. With them at one point, but then they switched back, and then
Jimmy's life story.
You just need to go on with the amount of people that need to go on.
You need 6 qualified people. You got to find them online, guys. Talk to your friends or make friends online.
That's true.
Find out who really like qualified people are, and then like back up or forward.
I need 5 other people that can get us into Chewy mode before we start. That's what I want.
We tried to do that, but
hard.
But every time me and Kim went and ride it, it was like we ended up with like 2 6-year-olds being pilots. And it's just, it's not even fun at that point, to be honest with you.
It's a little bouncy.
I understand it. However, let me, I think I did get a way to make it fun. I ended up going as a single rider a lot on this trip. So with Hope and her friend, it was, you know, we all hung out together. But on the second trip, I was kind of by myself. Once the second day, the first day I was with Lisa, although Lisa and I discovered the single rider line on the Falcon. Single rider,
which was new in July from June. There were no single rider lines in June, right?
I don't think so. I don't remember seeing it, so I would say probably not. But the single rider line was great because it was 5 to 10 minutes each time. And you rode pretty close to who you were riding here online with. So it was kind of cool in that regard, too. I must have done it like 8 times on the second Hollywood Studios day on my second trip.
Wow.
However, and here's a little caveat to that. You're going to be the engineer if you go on that line.
So every time.
Yes. However, there was one time when they needed 3 people. So you don't always going to be the engineer. But when I was by myself, the first ride of the day, I rope dropped it. I went on the first ride before Lisa got there. They still put me as an engineer because I was one with a group of like 4 or 5 that was ahead of me.
Sure.
So I was still screwed waiting online to be engineer anyway. So that's why the single rider line was a no-brainer.
That's a good secret.
The second day I went to Hollywood Studios, I rope dropped Mickey's and Minnie's Railroad. I didn't rope drop the Falcon. I didn't rope drop Slinky Dog or even Sunset Boulevard. I rope dropped Mickey and Minnie's because I wanted to see what happened there. And that was a hell of a difference. I got on that. I still got to Sunset Boulevard and did those 2 rides with no waits, really. But they kind of kept us on the left side of the platform in front of the theater where they just kind of stopped us there. To the left is like that little popcorn stand and the little soda stand and the pathway to ABC commissary.
Yep.
And they literally kept us there until 8:45 or no, even later than that, 8:50, 8:55. And then they just let us go right through the front doors of the theater.
I'll tell you another thing with Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad that we found when we were there is it seems the line drops off pretty significantly in the evening.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that one. Yep.
Well, now that's also before they started the animation at night, right?
So that's true.
That's going to keep people.
That may change because people may be hanging around longer for the fireworks.
Right, which we didn't have. And now that was another thing. I was trying to rack my brain a way to get back to Hollywood Studios so I could see Star Wars at night. They closed the park at 8. I finally figured out there was no way I was even going to see the park at night because it was always going to be light.
Yeah.
You had to go hide somewhere in the back.
Took the pressure off for that then, so that was kind of cool. What else new?
So, Hope, was this your first time riding Flight of Passage?
No, my junior trip, I went and I got to ride it for the first time with all my friends.
Okay.
Which was interesting. So it was great to go on it again. I enjoy that ride. I cry every time. I can't.
It's a fun ride. Yeah. That's one of the one rides that when it starts flashing at the end of it, you're like, no, don't end. It's really that good. So now even saying that though, my last rope drop difference on this trip was when the July trip, I rope dropped Animal Kingdom and I rope dropped Dinosaur. Okay. So, right. So now needless to say, there was nobody going to Dinosaur. So we got pretty far into the park and Dinosaur, I got on that 3 times. And then I rode Everest on the single rider line a couple times. And that was the first time I've been to Animal Kingdom in, I don't know how many years now, I didn't do the Pandora, World of Pandora. I did basically everything else before they started getting crowded.
How were the lines? I know you did single rider at Everest, but how were the lines in general for that road trip?
I found the last.
They were pretty big.
In June, really? Pretty big.
Yeah, even in June, there were pretty large lines, most of the rides in Animal Kingdom. Although they would kind of move. We were on the safari and it was supposed to be 45, 50 and it kind of moved along. It wasn't that bad. Trying to think. Pandora, you never can get close to it. So that's just like wishful thinking. And as far as food went, yeah, I mostly spent a lot of my money on World Showcase, hitting a lot of the kiosks China. There. Yeah.
In World Showcase or in the food festival booths?
Well, the food festival booths.
Got it.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to go in the World Showplace?
We did on the first time in the Flower and Garden. Are you talking the place over on the side by...
in between Canada and the UK, the big tent.
Yeah. We went in there first time, and it was funny because we met a couple in there, an older couple that was just hilarious. This is a side story. We might even cut this out. But they were like, we're walking past, and the guy's like, hey, Hope, I haven't seen you in a while.
I had my ears on that had my name on the back of it.
Oh, funny.
And we literally had a couple minute conversation before the guy's like, I don't know who the hell you guys are, but you know, just wanted to say hello. And they were really nice. So, you know, we handed our couple pins. And
I'm going to try that someday.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the only place in the world you can have that type of conversation.
Yeah, any place else would be extremely weird.
Yeah. So to finish up, the Disney trips were both good. Again, a little crowded on the second one, so definitely had to tailor it for the crowds. But again, by myself, it wasn't bad. I spent like 3 hours in Galaxy Edge just doing the data pad stuff. Looking for stuff, I figured out how to hack and to scan the different things in the park in the Galaxy's Edge. So it was funny because we were playing around with Elisa. Somebody would be leaning against one of those panels next to a door that has the lights on it.
Okay.
You go into the app, you can activate it, and it starts beeping and booping, and the lights change. People were like looking around. I was like, "What happened? What happened to that?" So we were goofing on people.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Oh, it's great. The other cool thing is those towers. They look like evaporators from Tatooine.
Oh, yeah.
You can hack those guys, too, and make them light up and make noises. And then you get a thing on your data pad giving the message because you basically stole a message from somebody trying to translate it or send it out.
We'll have to – when we go in November, we'll have to
– Oh, yeah, definitely. We got to coordinate one trip for that.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to say, too, for November. I'm glad you brought it up and Hope brought it up perfectly. We need to schedule a Millennium Falcon – meetup. Like we need to get 6 qualified people to get on that thing together.
Completely agree with that.
And try to do that. Make that like kind of a priority of the trip. So we'll see. Now, and to finish it up, and I don't want to go too much longer tonight, I was lucky enough, we had my sister and her kids come down and they all went to Universal Studios. So Leslie thought it was a great idea for us to get a night at Cabana Bay. And then we would go to Hollywood, to Universal Studios the next day.
Cool.
We got the 1 day 2-park pass, and we made a go of it. We knew nothing, not nothing, because I did do some videos, but we didn't know a lot about the parks. Number one big thing to remember about Universal Studios are the big rides. Don't let you take any items on the ride with you.
That's right.
Find the lockers before you get on the ride.
Yep.
We got to Hagrid's ride the first thing, and it surprised the hell out of us when the guy's like, no, you can't take that on. You got to go to the lockers, which are behind where we were on the line.
Which, by the way, so everybody knows, that's everything. No cell phone, no nothing in your pocket, right?
Did I take my cell phone out? I don't know if I take my cell phone out, but you can't have anything flapping around. No, I think it's everything that can't fit in your pocket.
Yeah. Got it.
No bags, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bags, umbrella, because I had my trusty umbrella with me. That thing on our first
except
trip.
Except for the day and time you were at the Rock and Roller Coaster, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in Animal Kingdom, I got the lessons on how to hold the umbrella on the different rides compared to Universal, where you had to stash it each time. But brings up another story. Our first trip in June had much more water. Every day we had at least 4 hours of like incredible rain. The umbrellas we had, golf umbrellas, came in incredibly handy. They were godsend. And, of course, the one day we didn't have it was, like, the worst day, and it rained like hell when it wasn't supposed to. Second trip, we didn't have much rain at all. We were lucky with that. Universal, great park. They do some things in there a little bit better than Disney. Most of the stuff in there, it's kind of comparable. The cast members or the employees, whatever they call themselves over there, they deal with the same shit that employees over at Disney deal with. So I give them a lot of credit. One of the best rides, I think, we did 3 of the 4 Harry Potter rides. Harry Potter Land was great. That was Leslie's big thing, is she wanted to definitely do Harry Potter World. Find Nocturne Alley if you've gone, you haven't seen that.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
The Bourne Supremacy or the Bourne whatever.
Yeah,
wow.
I've not seen that.
Wow. It's worth seeing the video if you're not going to be in Universal Studios to see that one. They intermix HD video with live action that's interchangeable. It was really good.
That's cool.
Just many good things they had there.
I just wanted to throw out there that, you know, the guy, we kind of gone from Galaxy's Edge and now to Harry Potter, but it's the same guy that designed those.
Scott Trowbridge was involved with both. Absolutely.
Yeah. Disney stole him from Universal and had him.
I did have a problem with Harry Potter World in that I think they're being greedy. You got two Ollivanders, you got Butterbeer up the behind coming everywhere. It took a little of the reality of it away because, you know, you're in Ollivanders and Hogsmeade. And anybody that read the books would be like, well, that's not right.
Right.
But I understand why they did it.
Right.
There's lines in front of both of those wine stores the entire, entire day. So I get it.
It is a break in the story, though.
Say it again?
It is a break in the story, though. Like,
sure, a little bit. But they have the Butterbeer, like I said, was everywhere, which that's not true either.
Something that Disney, I'm not saying they wouldn't do it, but less likely probably to see it at Disney, a break in the story like that.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. They try not to. Although there were a lot of the stories there were good too. The Jimmy Fallon adventure or Jimmy Fallon
challenge. I thought that was funny. I love the pre-show for that.
That was great. The pre-show was good. They have the live guys come out, the quartet or whatever, and the tickets. And yeah, that was well done. Men in Black was well done. I mean, they were pretty much good queues and good rides. And it was fun for being a new park. So it was cool in that regard. I'd like to do it again someday, but you know, I'd rather go to Disney.
I'm with you. I mean, I think the biggest, and we enjoyed it, and but I, when we were there, I think the biggest thing was, is that a lot of their attractions are simulators.
Yes, 3D simulators or 4K simulators, whatever. And
Kim gets motion sick, so she did okay on them, but after like three or four in a row, she's like, I can't do it anymore. Because they have a limited amount of space.
Right. Sure, I get that. And I give them a lot of credit on their app because their Mad app lets you sort by the types of rides. So that helps a lot because Liz's kids definitely had some motion sickness issues. Some of them did, some of them didn't. I didn't get on the Velocicoaster, but a couple of them did. They said it was incredible. Plus, they went to Volcano Bay. They had the three-park tickets. So to them, Universal was perfect for them to go hour early to the park, stay till after lunch, go to Volcano Bay for the afternoon. Let's go back to the parks in the early evening. Take advantage of the lines.
I will say that that's probably one area from, and I haven't been, I've only been to one Disney water park and it was probably 10 years ago. But from what I understand is Volcano Bay is better than Typhoon Lagoon or Blizzard Beach.
Oh, it's great. Can you get the remote control?
And it's newer.
And Cabana Bay is right next to it. So you can walk from Cabana Bay to Volcano Bay.
And if I remember right, isn't Volcano Bay as big as Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon together?
I'm not saying large cars, but that volcano itself is pretty huge.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That was cool.
I watched a Tim Tracker video before we went because I thought we were going to go, and we ended up not going. But it looks incredible. For a water park, it looks incredible.
Right. Now, before we finish tonight, the one thing I did get to do this trip, which was pretty cool, was I got to go to the Droid Depot and make a droid.
Nice.
So, and I made an R5. Nice. So that's kind of an R2 looking guy.
What's that color?
It's kind of the similar colors. It's blue and white, but I did a little off. Plus, I'm going to be doing a little customizing on my own.
Very nice. The customizing on your own, I'm interested in. So now, an R5 droid is also the droid that's in the in the Rise of Resistance attraction.
He's the guys that they've reprogrammed to help us get out at the end.
That's exactly right.
So let me ask you a question. Have you downloaded the app to your phone?
I have, and it's great. It's like
the app is way better than the controller you get.
It is. It's like the Sphero app. And people were making fun of it because they were getting the droids and were making fun because Sphero had the Disney or the Star Wars droids, but they had the app to use them with too.
Yes, yes.
Much more responsive. So yes, I do, and it's much more responsive. It's just like the robots we use in school where you can kind of put a pre-programmed course into it and then just set him off and he'll do whatever, you know, you tell
That's
him.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is. It was really fun. Making the droid was a really good experience. Lisa was there for me, so she recorded it. We're going to get that up on our YouTube channel.
Nice.
And we'll be able to all take a look at that, so that should be fun. Very fun trips. Year I could have used an annual pass, though. My only downside.
Yeah.
So for a Star Wars fan, build a droid or build the lightsaber?
Saber.
Well, look at the cost too. I mean, so I built the saber. My kids built a droid. It made sense.
It's not, I don't know. I mean, we built a droid. It was still $140-$150 because we did
the backpack. I wouldn't fall for that. I did get the personality chip. I got the orange resistance personality chip because I did listen to a bunch of them and I like that the best. So it doesn't sound like R2, which is cool. I'm very, very happy with it so far.
It's a great process. I mean, when you bring that droid to life, it's really cool.
It's fun. We enjoyed it. It was really a good time.
Now, really, it was kind of odd. And make sure if you do make a droid, guys, make sure it's working perfectly before you leave. My guy couldn't turn his head once you turned it to the left, and he couldn't get it back. And I had actually seen somebody else do the same thing a couple people before me while I was waiting. So they ended up getting a different body while they waited for him and then used a different body on him.
We had a different body because we had we built a BB unit, but he couldn't get like the guy. We couldn't get the because the two pieces go together,
right? Yeah. The magnet,
the circle, and you slide them, you twist them to make it lock together. And I mean, we put everything we had into it. We couldn't get it to lock, so he ended up going and grabbed two different pieces and of the same color and helped us.
Right. Yeah. So make sure everything works and it's, you know, looks fine and everything like that, because sometimes it doesn't and it's okay to make sure it does. So you paid for it.
Before we wrap up, I just want to, just a quick note. I won't give any spoilers or anything, but if any of you guys have not had a chance to go see the movie Jungle Cruise.
Nice.
Oh yeah. You're saying it's good.
I highly, highly recommend that you do it while it's in the movie theater and go to the theater and see it.
Excellent.
It's cool. I know you can do the premiere thing through Disney Plus, which I think in some movies is great, but I'm going to tell you, this movie is so worth going to do the movie theater experience with. And I will tell you another thing, and this is just a small spoiler, but to see the beginning of that film and the castle come up and them playing the Metallica song is like something you would just never think you would ever see in your life.
Cool. Right.
So then that's not a movie plot spoiler, but just a cool detail that it's a very upbeat, really action thriller. It's really good. I highly recommend doing it. We did it. Me and Kim went and saw it last night, and we went and saw it in AMC Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, in some of them, they're Dolby theaters. It's different than IMAX. But the Dolby theaters and the Prime theaters have the seats that rumble, and it's got the recliners, but they rumble, and it's got the bigger speakers and the bigger screen. And, it was so worth an extra few bucks to go see it that way, because you were really in it. I mean, you felt like you were in the movie.
Nice.
That's cool.
Very cool.
So what's your next trip?
That actually was something new too. The Jungle Cruise had the new people climbing up the pole.
Yeah.
Also something new that happened we didn't see was they added Coco to Philharmagic.
Yeah.
After the June trip, but I didn't get to see it on my July trip.
That's not coming to Disney World until October the 1st.
Oh, well then I didn't
land. Where is that? You would have been disappointed.
I actually saw people complain about that.
Oh, I have.
But it was there or wasn't there?
I actually saw people complaining that they're adding Coco to Philharmagic. I'm like, you can't be that in love with that attraction. That, and they're not replacing anything. They're adding a sequence. So I'm like, I don't understand why. Cool. Yeah, I think it's great.
I have a question. How do you think that's going to work with the quality of the old Philharmagic to adding the new Coco to it, or will they make it match the old quality? Because when we went to see it in the June trip, like, it was hard to sit there and watch it because it was just so like badly 3D.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, there was always complaints about the Aladdin part of it that wasn't up to snuff with the rest of it anyway. So we're just going to have all different types of versions, I would say.
Maybe they digitize. Is the whole thing digital or is it on film?
I don't know.
If they're adding a segment, I would expect it to be digital. But sort of to Hope's point, you're intermixing Pixar with Disney now.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a different look and feel sometimes. So it'll be interesting to see how they do it.
You know, but a lot of those are depicted in weird ways. Like Lion King is depicted in a very odd way.
Yeah, agree.
Cartoon. Like kaleidoscope and
almost not, a 2D cartoon instead of yeah.
Yeah. It's so I don't know. It's interesting. I don't look, I don't think it's not like that's a classic attraction.
So, okay. I do have some we're gonna finish up, but a couple other things just hit me as far as Soarin'. We went on Soarin'. I never noticed Kilimanjaro was the the focal part of the elephant scene. You know, the pre-show, you see the map where it hits Kilimanjaro, and it's like, okay, cool. But I never remember seeing it on the ride. And then I'm like, in the elephant scene, I was like, I finally looked up, and oh, yeah, there's Kilimanjaro right there. So that was kind of cool.
That's cool.
Just something new that I hadn't seen before.
Well, I think that's true with all of those scenes, though, that a lot of times you focus, like, directly in front of you. But if you kind of look, if you take the time to really look around, there's lots of other things going on in almost all the scenes.
Right. And I did get on the second trip, I was able to get center section, front row or first row.
Oh, nice. So
perfect both ways.
So center top then, right?
Everything was straight. Yeah, and everything was straight up and down. It was perfect.
So much better. So yeah. Much better experience.
I miss the old Soarin'. I really do. Oh, here's the other thing I realized about the new Soarin' is they're messed up because they show Epcot with the old fountain and the way it's set up. They're going to have
to
get into that.
Yes, they do.
So they're going to have to modify that to match it. Or do something.
It will not be World Celebration, that's for sure.
Yeah. So either way, still fun.
That's awesome.
What was the other thing? We noticed, and this was with, this was on the second trip with Amanda and her friend, we noticed how, remember the animatronic on Spaceship Earth, the Pharaoh was like the state of the art at one point, where he was the best animatronic on property. Man, is he having problems. He doesn't look anything close to being a good animatronic anymore.
So who is the best, you think? Hondo Inaka?
Yeah, actually, you got to say him. Or the late on the river, Navi River ride.
Yeah, the...
But Hondo does way more than the Shaman and Navi River.
I agree. Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 401. Nice. Ed and Hope's trip reports from Walt Disney World and Universal. So if you want to get in touch with the show, ask us questions, suggest show ideas, definitely write us an email or get in touch with us on Facebook. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast, and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So that's it for the show. We really appreciate you listening. I can't believe we're on 401, guys. Thanks a lot for coming along on this ride with us. For Jimmy, for Sam, for Hope, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Guaharini.
Kongaloosh.
Bye-bye.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your